You're listening to a podcast of Mission Community Church. For sermon resources and to learn more about our church, visit mission68.org.
Okay, hey, listen, we are going to begin this series today that we're calling Built for Community. Built for Community. Here's the premise of the whole series, and it's that when God breathed new life into you as a believer, when you put your faith in Jesus, God breathed new life into you, and at the same time, he birthed you into a community. The community is called the body of Christ, and you belong to the body of Christ, you fit in the body of Christ, and you're intended to participate in the body of Christ. God's blueprint for the church isn't isolation or anonymity, but actually that we would function together as a body. And so if your pattern here is that you, you get here about 10:29, right? And you find your spot and you get your kid checked in and then you get, come in here, you miss the first song, but you're in, right? And you get in your seat and you kind of slip in and then when the service is over, you kind of slip out as quickly as you can and you pick up your kids and you fight the traffic and you get out, right? But you haven't really engaged in relationship. If you don't really have a community of people here at Mission or in the body of Christ that you connect with in community and in relationship where you know them and they know you, then you're practically functioning as if the church is a place that you go to once a week in order to receive a service rather than it being a community that you live within. And those are two radically different understandings of the church. The Greek word for church in the New Testament is ekklesia. It's a gathering together. It's this community gathering. It was never intended to be this place that you go to once a week where you just don't connect. So our best guess, and we've been working on this series for about 5 months now, and our best guess from the research that we've done pretty thoroughly is that a little over half of you are functionally participating at a level in which you believe, by the way that you're operating, you seem to believe that the church is really a place that you go to once a week and receive rather than a community to be lived in and belong in and to fit in and to participate in. And so if you were hurting, right, or if you were struggling with something, you don't really have a community of people here at Mission that you would know to go to for care and for help. Or if you were struggling with doubts about your faith, you wouldn't really have a group of people that you feel comfortable with going to and being vulnerable and sharing those doubts and engaging at that level. And frankly, the people around you wouldn't feel comfortable going to you because they don't know you and you don't know them. You just sort of share an aisle once a week. And that just was never God's design for the church. It was never his blueprint. Right? His blueprint for the church is that we participate in community, in the body of Christ, each one of us a part of it, each one of us participating. And you might wonder, well, Mark, how do you possibly do that in a church of 7,000 people? And my response would simply be this. Acts chapter 2, the very first church, the very early church. Peter's preaching, the people respond, 3,000 people are added to the church in one day. We've never grown at that pace. 3,000 in one day. The very next set of verses, they're in intimate community in each other's homes. They figured it out because they realized immediately that for them being part of the body of Christ, to not live in community with their brothers and sisters at any level, not have that relationship, would be to live out of sync with who God made them to be. And so our hope through this series is that each of you would step out of anonymity here. That you'd step out of isolation, that your pattern here wouldn't just be I slip in, I slip out, and I don't have any relationship, but that you would find meaningful community here at Mission. So here's what I'd like you to do. Would you go ahead and open up your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, if you're not familiar with where that's at, it's in the New Testament. Just start heading to your right. If you go one book too far, you'll hit 2 Corinthians. Very good. Scholars. Here we go. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to pick it up, chapter 12, verse 12. I've actually preached on this passage a few years ago in the context of spiritual gifts. Today I'm going to be in this passage again, but in the context of the oneness of the body of Christ. However, I do get to use my favorite illustration of all time, which you'll see in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged, this is how the body is put together, God has arranged the parts in the body. Every one of them, no maverick molecules, every one of them arranged by God just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. Now, verse 27, he's talking about the church, right? Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ. And each one, so each believer inside the church, each one of you is a part of it. You are part of this body, the body of Christ. So when the Apostle Paul goes to describe the very nature of the church, he defines it in terms of human anatomy. Right? He says, listen, just like the human body has all these different kinds of parts, you have a liver and a kidney and lungs, hearts, hair, eyes, but together they combine to form one body. In the same way, the church has all these diverse parts of different sizes, shapes, colors, ideas, and yet together we all form one body, the body of Christ. We have a unique oneness. As a matter of fact, I think Scripture teaches that the oneness that we have in this community, in the body of Christ, is radically different than any other oneness in any other community on planet Earth, because our oneness is supernatural. It's founded in the fact that we equally have the Spirit of God indwelling us. So I have the Spirit of God indwelling me as a believer. You up there in the middle section right there, you have the Spirit of God. If you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. And so we have this supernatural oneness, even though I can hardly see you, right? But we have this, there is this bond that we both have the Spirit of God. So we are uniquely one, right? So go back into the text. Look at this, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. But our supernatural oneness, our binding together because of the Spirit of God within us, should tear down the walls that typically separate other communities of people. Because he points out a couple things here. Like he says, in this community, there's Jew and Gentile, there's slave and free. Those dividing walls are torn down. And we don't typically talk in those kinds of categories of people. So for us, we can read that and go, oh, Jew, Gentile, slave, free. That's like east, west, north, south. But that's not at all the case. Because in an ancient Near Eastern culture, these were the most divisive things that possible. These are the categories of people that had the least to do with each other. So if you were a Jew, you wouldn't eat with a Gentile. You wouldn't even consider them worthy to be sitting at a table with. That's how divisive those two categories were. The same thing with free or slave. You wouldn't eat with each other. And so these were deeply divisive things. And what he's saying is in the body of Christ, our oneness is so strong that those dividing walls are torn down, which makes us radically different than every other humanly formed community. Because most humanly formed communities, they tend to gather together based on the principle that unity is formed around uniformity, failing to realize that unity around uniformity, with the exception of diversity, usually produces monstrosity. It's how you get white supremacists. But we kind of get into this thinking that we believe if we just kind of eliminate those that are different from us, right? Because differences make us uncomfortable. They cause us to draw lines and form camps and keep the others out. So we have Republicans over here, Democrats over there. Right, we in junior high, right? You always kind of separate out into groups and when I was in junior high a million years ago, you had jocks, you had nerds, and you had heads. They were potheads. I don't know what they call them anymore, but those were kind of the groups, right? And you didn't really cross category too much. You kind of stayed in your tribe. In prison populations, they sort of form these tribes, these gangs by ethnicity. So you have Hispanic gangs, and you have black gangs, and you have white gangs, because it's kind of based on this idea that there will be unity around uniformity. And we can even buy into this thinking in the church, so that we begin to think that every single group, the best way we'll form unity is for this group to completely separate out from the rest and just be, so we just need, we don't need, we need not just singles groups, but we need singles from the age of 22 and 3/4 to 31 and 4/8, you know? But when you hit 30, whatever, 3, whatever, and then 42, then you need like an older set of singles. They need to be by themselves, and then you need married couples together, and not just married, but like married without kids need to be over here, and married with kids over here. And pretty soon, you know, my wife will start a group for vegetarian flight attendants who like to watch boxing on Friday nights. Because that is totally her. She would love that. Vegetarian flight attendants who like to watch boxing on Friday nights. That's her tribe, right? But you see, and also, I know we have some of those groups, not flight attendant things, but we have single groups of different, and I'm not saying there's anything bad with that, but we can take it too far, and we can begin to think our unity is best formed around uniformity, and God's blueprint for the church is just very different from that. He actually says, in this wide range of diversity, this beautiful mosaic of Jew and Gentile and slave and free and male and female and black and white, and that there's this massive mosaic that he binds together in this supernatural oneness called the body of Christ. And then he hardwires each one of us for life in that community. He hardwires us for community. Let's go back into the text and pick it up in verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And he's not just talking about a human body. He's using that as a picture of us in the church, right? Again, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. He's saying, listen, we're all, as followers of Jesus, we're part of the body of Christ. You're a part of this body. And God never designed the parts of the body to operate in isolation from the rest of the body. One of my favorite translations of the New Testament is in Hawaiian Pidgin. It's called The Jesus Book. And it's a real thing. And if you've been around here, you've heard me quote it sometimes, because it puts things in such simple terms that sometimes it takes some of these practical verses and just makes them pop off the page. And I think that The Jesus Book actually captures verse 15 really, really well. It says this: What if your foot, when go say, me, I not one hand, so gotta be I not from this guy's body. You think that mean the foot not from that guy's body? No way. Doesn't it just make it so, like, of course, it doesn't make any difference if you think, I don't need the body. I just do this thing by myself. It doesn't make any difference if you think that. That's not how God made you. God hardwired you for life in the body of Christ. You're part of a larger body. You're supposed to participate in community. And if you say, I just don't need that, then you're operating as a dismembered body part. And dismembered body parts are gross. Right? I mean, think about, just take the tongue, for instance. Tongues are awesome. right? As a pastor, it's my bread and butter, right? And remember junior high, guys? Remember junior high, guys? Junior high, you wanted three things, guys. You wanted to be popular, you wanted to be good at sports, and you wanted your girlfriend's tongue. Those are the three things. Don't be all holy on me. You know that's what you wanted, okay? It's true. But you only wanted her tongue as it was connected to the rest of her body. Like if she like took it out and went here, you would not kiss it because it would have been gross. So yes, I am gonna go there. Don't worry, there's not some junior higher locked up in a basement somewhere. This is a cow's tongue. And the second you saw it, you went, oh. Tell me why. Why is this so gross? Because it's not attached to a cow. Exactly. If you don't look at a cow and go, oh, this is disgusting. It's tongue. You don't do that, right? But you take the tongue and you dismember it from the cow, and all of a sudden it's this hideous thing that you can barely look at. And now some of you, you're like, we should put that on the grill. And just, I'm going to speak for the rest of us. You freak us out, okay? But this is what it's like. And this is really the point of the passage, is that you're a part. I'm a part. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're not supposed to be a dismembered part. We operate within the body of Christ together. This is how God has wired us to function. Let's go back into the text. I'm just going to leave the tongue there. Just deal with it, okay? Here we go. Let's go back into the text. Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it were, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And again, I'm just going to give you one more verse from the Jesus Bible, because I think it just nails verse 25 perfectly. Listen, here's verse 25. God don't like the body be all split up. That's exactly what it means. He like everything inside the body for work together with each other, same, same. And the part I love about that verse is like, God don't like the body all split up. It's just so true. He doesn't like the body all split up. That's not how we designed it. It's not his blueprint, right? And you're not intended to live in anonymity and isolation here. You're intended to function in community. And some of you, though, you're sitting here and you're listening to this, but you're thinking, I'm not really buying it because I've actually been functioning this way and I'm quite satisfied. To which I would say, have you ever paused long enough to consider that maybe God has gifted you to bless others in the community? Have you ever paused to think that maybe you're nowhere near as mature as you could be because you're not growing together with others in the body of Christ who are challenging you and encouraging you and stretching you? See, he's designed us for community. But some of you, that's not your issue with this. For some of you, you're like, I know, I get it, but here's my issue, Mark. I feel like I don't fit. And you just need to hear this, that you belong. Look at verse 18 again. This is so good. Verse 18. In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body. And remember, you're a part of the body of Christ. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. There are no misfits in the body of Christ. You fit, you belong. Because, listen, God knit you together in your mother's womb. He has a plan for you from the very beginning. He chose to breathe new life into you. You're not here by accident. He has birthed you into the body of Christ, and he has arranged you and got a unique spot for you to play in the body of Christ. And you may think that you're insignificant or you're small or you don't have much of a part to play or I don't have much giftedness, and other people may have told you that you're never going to amount to much and you just feel like you don't really fit, but you have, every single one of us has a vital part to play in the body of Christ. And I want to illustrate this for you, the significance of each part, small and big, hidden and not hidden. So guys, and I need your help on this, okay? And I'm talking to guys who are married or guys that have a girlfriend, okay? So here's the thing. When you first saw her, what body part, okay, hang on, we're in church. Let's keep it neck up, okay? What body part first attracted you to her? Were you like, oh, what body part was it? Go ahead, guys.
Eyes,
perfect. Smile, like that was me for my wife. My wife has this fantastic smile that can light up a room. Her teeth are like the sheep of Bashan. Each one in its place. It gets her so hot when I talk like that. But the... Here's the thing. We could do this all day long. I promise you there would never be a guy in the room that said, here's the thing, when I first saw her, the first thought in my mind was, dang, she's got a good-looking pituitary gland. That thing secretes hormones like nothing, man. Like, no, nobody, because it's tiny and it's P-shaped and it's like in the, like settled over this spot in the brain, and you'll never see it. And if you ever did, something's gone horribly wrong, right? But they say it's like the master switch of the rest of the glands that secrete all these hormones that are needed for control of body temperature and blood pressure and growth and sexuality. And in other words, when you saw her and those eyes and those smiles, you may have been hot for her, but if the pituitary gland was like, I'm out, she wouldn't have been hot for you. And the point that I'm trying to make, and I think the point of the Apostle Paul here in this passage, is that every single part of the body, big, small, hidden, every part has a unique part to play in the body of Christ. Every single one of you. You are not here by accident. God has arranged you in this place, in this body, for a reason, and you belong and you fit. But even as I say that, I can imagine that there are several of you, many of you, that are thinking, well, that's really good sermon fodder, but I haven't really experienced that to be true here at Mission. Because, Mark, you know, you use all these illustrations from your marriage. You've got this pretty little wife sitting here in all your services, and you've got this marriage ministry you're starting. But here's my story. My husband just had an affair and left me. And every time you talk about strengthening marriages, you make me feel more and more alone and isolated. Or Mark, here's my story. My husband and I, we struggle with infertility. And every time we come here, we go past this nursery and this children's ministry, and we see all these young couples forming relationship around their commonality of their children. And we just walk by and we just feel like we don't fit. Or we come into this beautiful building and these beautiful young people are leading in worship, and you use illustrations about the latest triathlon thing that you did. But here's my story. I've got a tumor growing inside of me, and I'm wondering if sick people fit here. Right? Or I'm getting older and I'm looking around and going, did I age out? And does the community even want me? And I just want to say as clearly as I possibly can, yes. We not only want you, we need you. You have a unique part to play in the body of Christ. And every single one of you, you have a unique set of gifts, a unique set of talents, a unique set of experiences, and some of you, a unique set of pain that uniquely enables you to minister here and to other people in ways the rest of us can't. Some people can be the smile, but we need the pituitary gland doing the thing behind the scenes that we can't possibly do. And so we have people that are leading a divorce care ministry that have been abandoned by spouses. We have a grief share ministry led by people whose daughter was murdered. We have a Grieving the Child I Never Knew ministry led by a woman who gave birth to a stillborn child. We have a Lighthouse ministry led by people who have struggled with unwanted same-sex attraction. We've got a Celebrate Recovery ministry led by people who have struggled with unusual hurts and pains and hang-ups and addictions. And for any one of them, in the middle of that journey, they could have said, I don't fit here. I just got this thing that's happened to me, and you guys are holding up this model, and I just feel like I don't fit in that model. And they could have retreated, but instead they stepped into community, and in so doing, they realized that they had a unique spot in the body of Christ that the rest of us couldn't fill. And they were able to now minister to other people that are walking along that path of pain that they have once walked through and are a little further down the path. They uniquely fit in the body of Christ, and so do you. Every single one of us, God has given you your gifts, talents, experiences, even some of your pain, and he's formed you and shaped you for life in the body of Christ. And so our hope and our prayer is that you'll step out of anonymity and out of isolation and into community. Because that's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. Let's just look at this last couple verses again. We go back into chapter 12, verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We're supposed to be in community, right? Where we know each other and we're known. We serve and we're served. We love and we're loved. We suffer together and we rejoice together because we're doing this life together in community. And that's what we're inviting you into. And some of you already have this in some form. And it's not just one way to do this. But there is a way, if you don't have this here at Mission, there is a way that we're going to uphold and we're going to highly support as a church. Again, this isn't the only way to be in community, but it is the way that we're going to most support. And it's this thing that we're calling missional communities, which are just simply this. They're groups of about 10 to 14 people that gather together outside of the weekend experience within homes to grow together in their relationship with Christ and their relationship with each other. And we're hoping that you'll step into that. All the information is on the website. If you go on mission68.org, there's this big banner. It says, community groups. You click on that, and I plugged in my zip code. We have 58 open groups in my zip code. Okay, and so that's why we did all that leadership training, so that when we invited you into community, we'd have all these leaders ready to open up their home. We're ready for you to step into community and be loved here. And my hope is that you do that, because the church is not a place that you go once a week to receive a service. It's a community that God has called you to live within. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate communion together as a body. And I'm going to invite David to come back out, and he's going to lead us in a prayer and lead us in community. And as we do this, as we celebrate the body of Christ together, we're going to take communion in a way that we don't typically do, but it's a beautiful way that really visually demonstrates our oneness in Christ.